Hello again, dear friends. This is Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. I'm inviting you to stay tuned for this edition of Let's Talk About Jesus. You have just got through listening to classic gospel music, and now I want you to hear why these songs were written and why so many have sung these hopeful, comforting songs. Amen. We're going to go to God's Word to find words of comfort and consolation for people living in troubled times. And I pray you'll stay tuned for this broadcast today. You won't get this kind of news from CNN, MSNBC. You won't get it from the Washington Post or the Wall Street Journal. But you will get good news for troubled times here in the Word of God. So you don't want to miss this broadcast today. We're going to mention some Bible prophecy, but we're going to talk more about a Bible person. We're going to talk about God. We're going to talk about Jesus today. Oh, friend, I'm so glad that in these times that I have somewhere to turn and someone to turn to that will give me comfort, consolation, courage in my heart, that'll give me His peace. Praise God. In spite of the ever-changing circumstances of life and of our world. So we want you to please don't miss this broadcast. If you don't know Christ as your personal Savior, you've already obviously been listening to this good Christian music. Please stay tuned just a little while longer. This is not the boring part of the broadcast. We want you to know where we are on God's time clock. We want you to know what God's great plan is for all those that will put their trust in Him, and how we can live our life and face the realities of a fallen world in the very end of time, in a troubled time, and yet have courage and hope that nothing can stop or quench, not even death. Oh, friend, don't miss this opportunity to hear from God's heart through His Word today. We invite you to stay tuned. For all of you that listen by computer, we welcome you. So glad that WMAF streams 24/7. Everything that you folks are hearing right there in Madison, Florida, can be heard anywhere in the United States and in any nation, anywhere in the world where someone has a computer and they're hooked up to the World Wide Web. It's just that simple. What a day when the gospel can go from Tampa to Madison and from Madison to the uttermost parts of the world. We are on the air to fulfill the great commission to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. What a privilege and what an honor. So in your prayers, bless this station that it will grow and prosper. You have a very unique station there in Madison. Here in Tampa, where we're centrally located, we pick up stations as far away as Orlando and all the areas around here. And we just don't have, out of the multiple stations in Tampa, we don't have a station like you have in Madison. You have a jewel. You really do, in WMAF. And there are people that stream it now here to Tampa by computer. So if you know someone that you feel this station, this format, this programming, family friendly, classic country, classic gospel, and good preaching. Amen. I'm not bragging. We preach from the Word of God, and it's a good book. And gospel is good news. So you know what I'm saying today. Give them a ring. Drop them an email. Drop them a card and invite them to just type in a search engine, WMAF Home. It'll take them to the home page of WMAF. In the right-hand corner of that home page, there's one click of your mouse, and it will tune in a live streaming 24/7 broadcast. So everything you're hearing in Madison can be heard in anywhere in America and anywhere in the world. And you can be a media missionary as well as bring a blessed station to so many people. So that's the commercial, and I love to do that because I believe every word that I'm saying today. Praise God. Now, listen to this message that the Lord is bringing people that can't get away from the reality that we're living in some very troubled times. I don't have to go into great detail, but I want to talk to you today about the value of having the God of peace with us. What it means when the Bible says that the God of peace is with us. We are not abandoned. We are not left here to fend for ourselves. We are not alone in our sorrow. We're not alone in our anxiety. We're not alone if you're a Christian. God has become to you and become to me the God of peace. And He wants His peace to mark us as Christians, set us apart, and showcase the gospel of Jesus Christ like the gospel has never been showcased before. I believe as the darkness gets darker, the light will shine brighter. Not because the light hasn't been so intense down through the generations, but, you know, it's like your porch light on your home. At noonday, that porch light is insignificant. No one even notices that you have it on. But at midnight, that light that was shining just as bright at noon, amen, can be seen. And everybody that passes your home notices there's a porch light on. Friend of mine, we're living in the midnight hour prophetically. And the light of the glory of the gospel of Jesus Christ is shining more brightly than ever before. If you can have hope, confidence, comfort, consolation in these times, it's going to be a great testimony. It's going to be like a beacon in the dark, stormy night that shines. Praise God. Amen. We used to sing the song, "This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." But we changed the words to "this bright light of mine, I'm going to let it shine." And you know what's enhancing the light? The darkness around us is making the light so very, very bright. Listen to this very carefully. God wants to fill us as Christians with hope and courage in these days so that we can live our life differently than the world about us and attract that world's attention to the fact that God is the God of peace, and He is with His people, and we have nothing to fear. Praise God. Amen. Listen to these words. One verse that encapsulate this great truth out of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 9. It says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard," and Paul writing to the church at Philippi, "and seen in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you." I'm going to read that last part again. "And the God of peace shall be with you." Of the many descriptive phrases used in the Bible to identify God, and there are many, one of the most arresting and appealing is the title that I just read you, the God of peace. Though God is addressed as the God of Israel, the God of heaven, the God of hosts, the God of patience, and the God of all grace, the most meaningful for this troubled world in which we live is the one given to us by St. Paul in our text, the God of peace. What a beautiful, powerful, meaningful description of our God. I like the way it reads from the Amplified New Testament. It says, "And the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being, will be with you." The Scriptures teach clearly that in the last days would be marked by fear and anxiety. In fact, Luke 21:26 said, "Men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after the things which are coming upon the earth." In its prophetic setting, I believe this is the beginning of the tribulation period Jesus is addressing. But He's also addressing, I believe, that time that is just leading up to the tribulation period. We're already seeing that kind of atmosphere and that kind of attitude settle in around us globally as well as nationally and many times personally. This scripture is descriptive of the hopeless and helpless condition of those who are facing the great tribulation. It's also descriptive, I believe, of the time just preceding it, the time called, according to Matthew 24, 7 and 8, the beginning of sorrows, the beginning of birth pangs, literally is the word, precursors and that are just before the culmination of all of the prophetic word of God. Listen, for it said in Matthew 24, 7 and 8, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in divers places. And all these things are the beginning of sorrows. We are watching globally and prophetically a movement to that kind of situation and circumstance. Jesus talked of distress of nations with perplexity in another instance. That means there would be all kinds of troubles that with all of our ingenuity, all of our intellect, all of our technological advancement, we will not know how to figure out all of the complex and troubling, plaguing problems that nations are facing. I believe that the true church, therefore, will be distinguished from the false by a sustaining peace in an unpeaceful and fearful time. Even when God's judgments are in the land, I believe that God's people can have strong confidence and strong consolation. And I believe the coming of Jesus is at the doors. I have never in all of my life seen so many things in the news and in the media news that has absolutely convinced me biblically and personally that the coming of the Lord is at the doors. But until He comes, we need to be able to stand out as people of faith and courage in a time such as this. I believe, and I've been telling our congregation, and I'll say it to this radio congregation, amen, that we are in the kingdom. We are in the kingdom for such a time as this. And God wants us to not just weather the storm. He wants us to set a standard that the world might look and see that having the God of peace with us, no matter what the trouble is, will cause us to be a people of faith and hope in spite of the darkness around us. Praise God. Let me read you something here from the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 33, verse 13 through 17. Listen to this. Hear ye that are far off what I have done, and ye that are near, acknowledge my might. The sinners in Zion are afraid. Fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell, they say, with the devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with everlasting burnings? Verse 15 says, he that walketh righteously and speaketh uprightly, he that despiseth the gain of oppressions and shaketh his hands from holding of bribes, that stops his ears from the hearing of blood, and shutteth his eyes from seeing evil. He shall dwell on high. His place of defense shall be the munitions of rocks. Bread shall be given him, and his waters shall be sure. Thine eyes shall see the king in his beauty. They shall behold the land that is very far off. Now, there's a beautiful commentary. It's an ancient commentary, as commentaries go. I guess I can use the word ancient. It's very old, not back in the days of antiquity, but it's an older commentary. Before my time, it was written. And according to Jameson Fawcett Brown, a very good commentary, there's a prophetic significance to verse 17, pointing to a time beyond Hezekiah's, where this portion of Isaiah was written, to the time that of the church that we are living in right now in the last days. Now, I want to read you a portion. Very far off, rather, means the land in its remotest extent, no longer pent up as Hezekiah was with the siege, for Jerusalem was made the scene of the king's glory and could not be said to be very far off, unless the far-off land be heaven and the Jerusalem above, which is to follow the earthly reign of Messiah at literal Jerusalem. The same people, listen, who have God's peace in the time of great trouble are the people who will see the King in His beauty and will see the city of God, the New Jerusalem. I want to say that again. The same people who have God's peace in the time of great trouble are the people who will see the King in His beauty and will see the city of God, the New Jerusalem. You see, people that are just playing a game with God, or playing church, as we would say, who don't have a genuine, authentic relationship with Jesus Christ, when the world shakes, their world is going to shake with it. When the financial kingdoms shake and tremble, their life is going to be shaken and tremble, and their hearts are tremble with the trembling of the financial markets, because their hope is all tied up in this material world and not in the coming kingdom of God and His Christ and our Savior. Friend of mine, this is a day, this shaking is going to separate the chaff from the wheat. This separating is going to separate the false from the true. When God begins to shake this old earth and remind man of his need for a creator, for his creator to be his Savior and his true helper, those sinners in Zion are not going to be comforted when the things they trust in shake, whereas the true church is going to stand firm in faith, because we know that our God is with us, and it gives us peace and consolation. He's the God of peace because He's the God that is present with us. The Christmas message that we hear every year, first by angels, is not a seasonal message. It is not something just for the month of December. It is the core of the gospel and takes the peace initiative. God takes the peace initiative. I'm just going to read you a Christmassy scripture. I want you to listen to it. Luke chapter 2, verse 8 through 14, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." Hey, listen, someone is saying, "Preacher, it's not Christmas." Please hang on. It doesn't have to be Christmas for this message to come into our hearts. I believe we've taken certain portions of Scripture, relegated them to certain times and seasons, when this Scripture is not just for December. It's not just for a celebratory Scripture that is to be put in a box and put on the shelf until 12 months go by. This is a message of hope that is ongoing and continuing. Let me finish it. Listen what the angel said. Amen. Verse 10, "And the angel said unto them," this is important for us right now and every day of this year, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people." Hallelujah. Aren't you glad there's good news for people living in troubled times? "For unto you in this born this day in the city of David is a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You'll find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." This God of peace wants to make peace with fallen man so that His peace can dwell in their hearts in spite of the circumstances, a peace that even death can't shake, because the God of peace is with us. No question I must ask right here is, have you accepted Jesus as your Savior? Are your sins forgiven? God sent His Son so we could be reconciled to Him. And He came to us. God came down. Amen. He doesn't just give us peace. He gives us His presence. He promises to never leave us, to never forsake us, to go with us all the way, even unto the end of the age. Folks, I want to tell you, when you receive Jesus as Savior, you can have a relationship with God that is nothing less than a close, intimate fellowship relationship with Him. And it's His presence with us and within us that drives away the fear from our life. I want to read you a true story that I think the first time I read it was in one of the major newspapers, could have been the Tribune, because it's going to go back a few years, but it's so important to understand that God doesn't sit aloft and aloof in His heaven. He offers us His very presence with us while we are here in this troubled time, in this troubled place, this fallen world. This is a true story, and this is as it was written, a personal testimony. It was on a Sunday afternoon, June the 1st, 1975, that Darrell Dore, D-O-R-E, was on an oil rig in the Gulf of Mexico. Suddenly it wobbled, tipped to one side, and crashed into the sea. Darrell was trapped inside a room on the rig. As the rig sank deeper and deeper into the sea, and the lights went out and the room began to fill with water, thrashing about in the darkness, Darrell accidentally found a huge air bubble that was forming in the corner of the room. He thrust his head inside it. There was a horrifying thought that sent a shiver down his spine. I am buried alive. Darrell then began to pray out loud. And as he did, something remarkable happened, he said later. And I want to bring this to you from his own words and his own testimony. He said, and I quote, "I found myself actually talking to someone. Jesus was there with me. There was no illumination, nothing physical, but I sensed Him. A comforting presence. He was real, and He was there." For the next 22 hours, that presence continued to comfort Darrell. But now the oxygen supply inside the bubble was giving out. Death was inevitable. It was just a matter of a very short time. Then a remarkable thing happened. Darrell saw a tiny strand of light shimmering in the pitch black water. Was it real? He asked himself. After 22 hours, he was beginning to hallucinate, he thought. Darrell squinted his eyes. The light seemed to grow brighter and brighter. He squinted again. He wasn't hallucinating. The light was real. It was coming from a diver's helmet. Someone had found him. His 22-hour nightmare was over. Rescue had come. He was saved. That true story is a remarkable illustration of what Jesus Christ can do if we put our trust in Him and His peace begins to rule our heart and our life because His presence is manifest to us. He said, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will go with you all the way, even unto the end of the age." You know, you don't have to be in an oil rig in the bottom of the sea to have that sense that everything is darkening and closing in on you. Death is going to come someday and the light is going to fail and the darkness is going to prevail for a very short period of time. But if you know Jesus as your Savior, and He is there with you and you sense His presence, there's a point where your mother's presence, your wife's presence, your husband's, your best friend, your pastor, your preacher can't be a consolation. There's a place where those holding your hand can't go any further. But there is no place where God can't come to you, where God can't hold you up. Praise God. Amen. I'm glad that we do not serve a God that sits aloof and aloft in His heaven and leaves us to fend for ourselves. I'm glad we have a God who through the Holy Spirit said, I will come to you. Literally, I'll come back to you. When Jesus ascended, He said, I won't leave you orphans. I won't leave you comfortless or orphanos in the Greek, but I will come back to you. And He sent the Holy Spirit that manifests and mediates His presence to our life. Praise God. Amen. You say Daryl was just hallucinating. He would just, listen, amen. Friend, you can call it anything you want to, but you will never convince Daryl that when he called upon Jesus, that Jesus didn't wait with him until deliverance come. See, the glory of this story is if deliverance hadn't come, he would have had the strength and courage, peace that he needed to face the inevitability of death and not fear the grim reaper. Praise God. Nothing in this world can give you that kind of consolation but having the God of peace with you. Into our darkened, hopeless, fallen world, where death imposed its absolute authority and terror, our Savior came to us. Glory, hallelujah. Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem, and the people who sat in darkness saw a great light. Soon after His humble but glorious birth, the joy of this miracle child would be overshadowed by the ominous shadow of a cross. And friend of mine, on that cross, Jesus made peace between a holy God and a sinful world. Everyone is not saved. Obviously, we have to accept Him as our Savior. We have to believe the report. We have to respond in repentance and receive Jesus. But I want you to know He's paid the sin debt so that God can forgive us. And not only forgive us, but He can come to us. Hallelujah. That the God of peace could be with us through this troubled world. And even in the presence of death itself, we will not be alone. We will not be forsaken. I like that old camp meeting song, I won't have to cross Jordan alone. Friend, there's nothing in this world. I understand that Bill Gates is worth $50 billion. That's not his company, Microsoft. That is his personal wealth. $50 billion. But let me tell you what $50 billion cannot buy. It can't buy the peace, the comfort, the confidence, the consolation that this man had in that oil rig. You can't purchase that with money. Ah, but when you open your heart and life and cry out to God and Jesus comes into your heart, the God of peace is with you. Ah, this is a good message today. Glad tidings of great joy. That's why we call it the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the good news. Gospel simply means good news. Dottie Rambo, who's now with the Lord, she wrote a song years ago, the world needs some good news bad. We sing the old camp meeting hymn, I have good news to bring. That is why I sing. My joy with you I'll share, 'cause I plan to take a trip on the good old gospel ship and go sailing through the air. Do you plan to take a trip when what we call death in this world comes, when you draw your last breath? Do you plan to take a trip to heaven? Hallelujah. An immediate translation into the presence of God. And until that day comes, no matter what you face, how fearful, terrifying it is, Paul said, here's your consolation for all the trouble that may come and will come in a fallen world to people in faulty bodies. The God of peace, the God of peace is with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, I want to invite you right now to call upon His name, to open your heart, to repent of your sin. Tell Him you're sorry that you've sinned. Tell Him you want to live a different life, that you want to acknowledge Him, bow to no other God. And friend, the God of peace will be with you through this life, and you will live with Him forever. Well, our time is gone. We love you today. Come back next week, and let's talk about Jesus.